Okay. So, guys, if you haven't been coming on Wednesday nights, you're missing out on big treats. We've got fun and people, just different people talking. And so John is actually going to share this Wednesday. Be awesome. We're looking forward to that. If you guys haven't heard John's share, you should come and listen to that. We're also going to have a time, and the Wednesday after that, we're going to have Dan share his experiences on and have the videos that he did on the streets the other day. I heard it was really good, so we want to give him a Wednesday to do that so that we can all see how that works, so that if you get excited about that, you guys will go out there and participate in some of that work, because it is very interesting and it's fun if you get over your issues to be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's all good. And so Dan will show you how to not be afraid, because he's not scared. And so yeah, that's right, you guys got to jump out there and be strong and courageous. So as Joey said, we were in Seattle, and you know, it's interesting, almost everybody we talked to was from a foreigner of some kind, you know, came from a different area. And I thought that was so interesting. The lady at the bank was from Germany, I believe, and she said Americans eat bland food. So she married an American man, and she said she was trying to teach them how to eat well, you know, because they eat pizza and burgers. And we're going, yeah, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. So we had pretty good conversation with her. And then the guy I bought that car from was from Sweden. And we got to talking a little bit about economy. And he looked at me, and I said, man, our economy is not doing real good. And he just laughed. He said, Dave, you don't know what a bad economy is. And so we're in America, you know, we look at things as a little different than everybody else. They come here and work their tails off, and they see things differently than we do, because we were raised here, right? We see all the stuff that isn't as good maybe as it once was, and they see things as, oh, you ain't seen nothing. And I was going, that's an amazing thing. So I got to visit with quite a few people while I was away and minister to them and kind of share with them. It was kind of fun. And how we look at our country, and how people are still invited in, maybe not as much as they used to be, but our country, in fact, if you look at your roots, you are from somewhere other than here, probably, if you go back far enough, right? So what was your heritage? Where were you from? And as we look at this passage of Scripture, and in fact, last week we talked about love enough to give it all, and so it doesn't matter where you're from. That where you're really at now is that you have given your heart to the Lord, and we're all God's people. And so we really are his people, and it doesn't matter where we come from. He has a plan for us as individuals as we grow together. And so love enough to give it all. Have you given it all up yet? Are you giving it all up? Are you still kind of hanging on to a few things? Resurrection Sunday, the Lord gave enough to give it all, and he's just asking us to participate in that as well. So today we're going to talk about practice what you say you believe. Interesting passage of Scripture today where Jesus jumps in and he gets right into the meat of things with the leaders of the church at that time. And he's talking to them, and basically what he was calling them was hypocrites. Now, when I looked at that, I did a little bit of study on hypocrite, where it came from, what it meant. And hypocrite comes from a Greek word, which is eutokpios, which is a word that meant, the meaning of it was an actor or play acting. So hypocrite was one that was acting out a part. And so that's where the word came from, that Greek word. And if you follow it out and break it down, it works out to a place of unable to make a decision, a place of whatever happens. It's, you're not really standing on one side or the other. You just kind of act your way through life. And so I thought that was an interesting study and background of why Jesus called them hypocrites. And he was pretty straightforward. Then when I started to look at my life, which I don't know about you guys, but when I look at Word, I look at myself and ask myself the tough questions. And sometimes we all need to do that. And so Do we just play church? Do we just play like we're Christian? Is it a act that we're putting on, or is it the real deal? Do you live this life, or do you just act like it? And when no one's around, you act differently. And or the question is, when somebody maybe even challenges you in your Christian walk, what do you do with that? Do you rebuke the person for even thinking such a thing, or do you just really take a second look and ask yourself the hard question? And reality is, Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit. And when he did that, he did it for a reason, so that we would have a helper, that we would be able to be helped by him to be who we're called to be and not just act it out. So it's the real deal. And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to kick it off in chapter 23, and we're going to try to get through the whole chapter, hopefully. And practice what you say you believe, or in my case, practice what I preach, right? Are you guys preachers? Should be. You should be practicing what you preach. If you're sharing something, you should be living it. So, 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. So he's speaking to crowds and he's speaking to his 12, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." So basically he's saying, do what they tell you, but don't be following them, because what they're saying is the right thing, but they're not actually doing it themselves, right? And so he's saying, do what they say, but don't do what they're doing. In fact, that was the saying that, you know, most fathers would tell their sons. Don't do what I tell you, but don't do what I do. Well, that's not a good example. So they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their... Now this is what this is. If you guys can pronounce it better than I. And what that is a box that they put on their arm, their left arm, and they tied it on, and it was scripture that was written on it, and it was inside the box, and they showed everybody that. And also they had robes with tassels on them, and if they had long tassels, that meant they were really spiritual. And the bigger the box that they had on their arm, that meant they were really prayer warriors. They had lots of stuff going on. And so he's basically bringing it back to that point that their tassels were huge and their boxes on their arms were really big, and they loved the place of honor at banquets and chief seats in the synagogues. So basically the synagogues were set up with really nice chairs, and I've been to churches like that, you know, where up here was the elders would sit as the pastor would preach, and their leadership was all kind of standing up on the big part, and all the people would just be down there and they would share with them. And actually took me a long time to get up here because I wanted to be down there with you guys. But I can see you better from up here. And respectful greetings, they love that in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by men. But interesting teaching from here on out, and I thought it was interesting. We have a thing every year we call a leadership training. We're going to change that. It's not going to be called leadership training anymore because of this passage of scripture. It's going to be called servant training. And there's a big difference. And this passage of scripture says, "But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you all are brothers." So who is our teacher? Who is he referring to? He was referring to himself as teacher, as God. He's the rabbi. He's the one to be listening to. And he was saying it to the multitudes and his 12. So he says, and so that's kind of an interesting thing to be saying to these multitudes of people and the 12 disciples as these leaders are out there listening to this message that he's given. And he's saying, don't be calling those guys rabbis. They're they're not your teacher, I am. Okay? That's pretty hard for them to swallow, I bet you. And then he goes on to say, do not call anyone on earth your father. Now, I know that in the Catholic world, that's kind of the way that they address the leaders or the priests is father. And he's basically saying that you don't call anybody on earth father except for him, because he's our father. And your earthly father is your dad. You know, I guess you call him your father, but he's basically saying that he's the only father who is in heaven. And it says, don't be called leader, for one is your leader, and that is Christ. And so we call the thing the leadership training, but we're going to call it servant training from now on, because this really convicted me, because we're really not leaders, we're servants. Right? And if we get that upside down, if we get that backwards, we've missed it. Because the whole thing that Jesus did, he flipped everything upside down, didn't he? He taught us how to be servants, not being all that headship going on where we're looking up to these people and they're doing everything right. Because in reality, we know that that is not so. Anybody who stands in front of a crowd probably has just as many issues as the people that are in the crowd. Maybe not as many because they're working on it, but they're still working on it. There is none righteous, no, not one. And if you think you are, God put it in perspective and said, you know, what righteousness to him is like. So don't be acting. Right? Be honest about your failures and just admit, I'm a sinner and I'm saved by grace. And by that, I need to work at my relationship with God, and through that relationship, I get better, right? Through the relationship with God and the Holy Spirit that strengthens me, then I get better because he helps me. It's no longer that I live, it's him that lives through me. And that is the relationship that God wants with us. But if you're still trying to do it on your own, then guess what? You're acting. You're acting it out. You're not being honest with those that are around you, and you're not being honest with yourself. And the reality is that, well, the word that the Greeks used is you're being a hypocrite. Well, and that, I mean, that word really goes, oh, I don't like that. I don't like to be called a hypocrite. Who do you guys think you are calling me a hypocrite? Well, the reality is, I bet you that's exactly what they were saying to Jesus when he was saying what he was saying. I bet you everyone in the synagogue at that point in time was thinking, who in the heck does he think he is? Standing up there and telling us leaders how bad we are or what we aren't. Well, I think as a humble individual, one that's seeking God for the truth, we need to be honest with ourselves and say, I need to be humble before my God and actually look carefully at my walk before him and then see if I'm standing right before him. Because the reality is, guess who's going to be the judge? It's not going to be those that are around you judging you. In the end, it'll be God's judgment on who you really are. And it says, and so it goes on to 11. It says, but the greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. So I think this, if you look around and you see those that you're working with and the things, I think of Jennifer and Jim. They're not here today. Oh, there you are. I think of those guys as awesome people because they're always doing things. They're always busy helping someone, and they're always helping here at the church. To me, they're the greatest in the kingdom. Why? Because their heart is to serve. And there's lots of you guys like that. That's what God sees. And it's not about getting all the glory. You know, it's not about, look at me. It doesn't matter about that. They're serving the Lord. In the capacity that God has put them to, they do a great job. And all of you guys, same thing. And so do it unto the Lord. And so the greatest among you shall be your servants. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Then he goes on to really dig into these guys. He's saying, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for the pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Interesting how God is really kind of telling them like it is. Then it goes on to say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the temple, nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sacrificed the gold, that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctified the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by the temple and by him who dwells within it. Basically, what he's saying is that you guys are trying to make these rules and do all these right things, but you're missing the point. You're missing what sacrifice is. What is the sacrifice? The sacrifice of something isn't going to make anything, but if you sacrifice of yourself, that's what matters. Or if you allow God to be king of your life and you humbly serve him in the capacity that you can, there's the sacrifice. Right? And he's making it pretty clear that these headships and these rulers and these burdens that you're putting on everybody is wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but I find in this system that we live on, in it keeps growing that way, doesn't it? It's the weaker, or the people that don't have as much, are serving those that have, and they keep wanting more. Well, eventually that's not going to work because the top gets too heavy, and this little thing that feeds that top heavy thing will crumble. And our system's moving in that direction really quick. We can't support ourselves in that manner. Somebody has to be doing something that's constructive. And if you do nothing and expect everybody to feed you, and there's a whole bunch of that going on, it will fall. And he's basically saying the same thing. Right? You're putting things on these people that you shouldn't be putting on, and it will fall apart on you. And it did. In fact, as you see, we'll go on and look. In fact, next week we're going to get into chapter 24, which is really, really good. If you've never read chapter 24, we're living in chapter 24 today. In these days that we're living in, we can correlate chapter 24 to the things we're seeing and the things we're living in right now. And so the things Jesus said to look for, we can see those right now. Interesting days that we live in. In fact, we'll get into that next week. But as we're looking at Matthew and what he's teaching here, is he's showing us the principles of life, the principle of our life before God. Because if we're acting out this life, in the end, what is that going to gain us? And if we're expecting somebody else to serve us and do things for us, then we're not going to be there very long, because God wants us to be the servants. And if everybody's a servant and feeding the big picture, then everything's good. It works that way. So even in a marriage, if you see a marriage that one person's doing all the serving and the other one's sitting in his big chair receiving everything, right? How long is that going to last? Not very long. There has to be some input. Excuse me, my nose is running. Promise not to open it. Did you guys ever see that guy that says, why do guys take their hanky out, blow their nose, and look at it? Inquiring minds want to know. I didn't do it, though. Joey says, thank you, Dave. So whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. So what's he saying? You guys show that you give all of your 10% of your income, right? You're doing all that, and that's a wonderful thing, but you're neglecting the most important thing. And what was that? And he said it very clear. You're neglecting justice and mercy and faithfulness. How faithful are you to your God and King? But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the other. He said, giving your 10%, giving your tithe to the church, back to the church, which they were meant to do, or made to do, basically. So if they did that was all good. But if they're doing that without the other, they've missed it. Right? Does God need your money? I'm sure he could probably do without you. And your giving of your money isn't about that anyway. It's about God getting your attention to say, for you to say to him, look, I understand that you own it all anyway. And so why wouldn't I give you back a portion of what you've given me? Right? That's your act of gratitude towards your King to say, I know and trust you. Right? And that's your relationship with him. And he says, now, if you do that, that's good. I want you to do that. Because the rest of all other things happen through that. I can do many works by what you're giving. Then he's saying, but if you do that and lack the other, then you've missed it all. If you come and just give of your money, but you don't give of your time, your faithfulness, right? You don't give, it talks about neglecting the service. Let me back up. Where was it at? Justice, making sure people think justice happens. And giving mercy to those who need mercy? Or do we judge those because of what they've done? And we're not faithful to anything? We just show up and give our 10% and leave? There has to be faithfulness to the Lord. There has to be the ability to follow through with what God's given you and then his talents that he's given you. If he's given you a talent to do something, then by all means you should be using that talent for the Lord. Right? But if you don't do any of that for the Lord, then you've missed the whole picture. Because he doesn't just want your money. He wants you. He wants you. He don't want you to be acting. He don't want you to just be coming to the theater and doing your act. He wants you to be all in. And so, but these are the things you should have done, which he said, without neglecting the other. You blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. He's great with words, isn't he? It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-delusions. You blind Pharisees, first clean the outside of the cup and of the dish so that the inside of the cup and dish. We want the inside clean first, and so that the outside will become clean also. So it's inside out. It's not outside in. Have you ever noticed that your relationship with God starts here and then it grows, it cleans the inside, and then after you've walked that walk for a while, you're very noticeably clean. I mean, very noticeably, you're one who people gravitate to because you are a spiritual walking individual that people want more of that. They want more. They want to see more of that. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. Boy, you got a really pretty grave going on. Which on the outside appears beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're blind, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. You think that would be true? Well, they killed Jesus. So you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? I know there's some religious people, religious practices out there that say, wait, there is no hell. God is a merciful God. He's not going to throw you into an eternity of pain and sorrow. And you know what? God's not going to throw you in there. You're throwing yourself there. He's doing everything he can to get you not to do it. Right? It's not him that does that. You have your own choice. You choose to go there. I've talked to people that say that. Hell yeah, I'm going to hell with all my friends. That's where they're at. We're going to party. Party. Party forever. I'm thinking, man, if you guys only understood. And I think that's what the Lord's trying to say to these guys. He's being very, very serious at what he's saying to these guys so that he's helping them understand. And listen, I think there are people that act long enough who are playing a part long enough that they become the part. Right? They are. They become the soap opera in their life. It's a script that's written, and they follow the script. The reality is you should throw the script away and follow Jesus. And he will speak to you and show you in the way that you should go, because I guarantee you, you don't know the way you should go. He does. And until you figure that out, you're going to wander around the mountain like the Israelites. And you will forsake him 16, 17 times in your lifetime and keep calling him back when things get bad and you're in captivity and all things are miserable. You go, oh, God, save me. And he goes, okay. And he saves you, and you come back, and things start moving correctly, and you forsake him, and you go back to your sin, and you go back into your garbage, and you come back to the place, God, I'm back. Why am I back? Please, please come and save me. And he does. Why? Because he never leaves you or forsakes you, and he wants you to see the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I've watched young people go through this process over and over. Well, I'm one. How about you? When are we finally going to get to the place where we just surrender and say, Lord, lead me. Lead me in the path of righteousness. I am your humble servant. You tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. I mean, how simple is that? Why do we have to complicate this thing? It's not that complicated. He just wants us to surrender to him. And listen, if you don't, then you'll live in your own world, and you'll have your script, and you're planning it all out, and away you go. But I think we should pray about everything and see if that's God's will for our life. Joey and I have come to a place where we pray about stuff a lot, about the direction he wants us to go. And then once we get the word, we start doing it. We start going that way. And I mean, from the time we came, well, before we came here, we've learned that way back when I first heard the Lord tell me to get rid of my business, get out of the business and go into the ministry. That was basically my all in when I said, okay, I'll do it. And I've been kind of just looking to see what he has for me. We prayed about coming over here. The doors opened. We said, okay, Lord, that's what you want us to do. We lived in the library for a year. Some of you guys don't know that. When we first came over here, we had a fifth wheel trailer. And the weird thing was, God told us to sell that trailer. We were in a 35-foot travel trailer. We had it parked right out there. It was really a nice, comfortable little, you know, travel trailer. It had tip outs, and it was like a little apartment. We were good. But God said, I want you to move into the library and sell that travel trailer. And I went, that came through Joey. The word of the Lord came through Joey. And I said, Joey, why would God tell you to do that? She goes, I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that's what the Lord wants, right? So I've learned that, you know, over the years, she's heard me say things that are crazy. And she followed me, and I said, okay, you know what? If that's what God wants to do, we'll do it. Why? Because we're all in. I would live in a tent if he asked me to do it. I'd do it. Would you? Would you? What? Would you? If he said, look, I want you to get rid of all your possessions, and I want you to go live like this somewhere. If you knew it was God, would you do it? And now that's the other question. Him asking you and you knowing is two different things. That's why you have to pray. You have to get the word of the Lord. Right? And so Joey says, this is what the Lord said. I prayed about it. And I said, okay. So we sell the trailer, right? It goes away. We move into the library for a year. And I'm still wondering why, you know. And you know, you guys would show up and we would be showering and running around in our jammies and stuff. And it's great. And so at the end of that year, we heard the Lord to go ahead and buy a place in town, right? So we made an offer on a place. And what we found out was, because of us living in the church for a year, we didn't have a home. We didn't have a rental. We weren't doing anything. We were just here. We qualified for first-time home buyers, which was blowing me away. It's like Obama money, I guess. I don't know. But I've owned three different houses. It just didn't make any sense. But because we went, was actually looking at the house, and this guy says, well, where have you lived? And he was checking the water. He was the water meter guy, or checking the well, doing a well test on the house. And I was just talking to him, and he said, talked about his daughter getting a first-time buyer's deal for $8,000. And I said, really? He said, yeah, if you haven't owned a home in 3 years, you qualify for first-time buyers. He says, you should check it out. So I went to the bank, and I asked him, and they said, yep, sure enough, you get an $8,000 check for when you buy this house. And I said, no way. Yeah, absolutely. So I said, well, that's cool. And then I knew why God wanted us to move into the church for a year. And it all made sense later. So you may not know why you're doing what you're doing until after you do it for a while and God will reveal it to you. And that's just a small example. But the reality is hearing him and being obedient to what he's saying. And some of you guys are right there in the middle of that right now, aren't you? You're wondering, you're asking God, is this time for me to do a certain thing? Should I be doing this? Should I sell? Should I buy? Should I build? What should I do, Lord? I need to know, right? And I know some of your stories, so I know some of you guys are there, right? You're asking the Lord for direction. He's not going to leave you hanging, right? He's not. In fact, if you're not hearing anything, usually that means wait. And that's the hard part. Why? Because I got a plan. And you're messing with my plan, Lord. So waiting is the hardest part, right? Waiting and listening. And then when the door is open, but keep seeking, keep knocking, and keep looking. That's the part you got to do. You can't quit. You got to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, and keep looking. And he will reveal it to you as you go. And then you'll know. Now, here's why you need to know that. Because if you got in the middle of something that you didn't wait and look, and it didn't work out, right? When on your own, you're going to go, oh, man. But if you did wait and listen to the Lord and he said go and it didn't work out, then you can go, well, this is what God wanted me to do. I guess he's got a plan in that too. Right? Is that how we look at it? Not usually. Usually we're going, I ain't going to do that again, Lord. Last time you led me astray. I've lost everything from listening to you. Well, it all belongs to him. And if that's what he wants from you, then so be it. Right? Have you come to that place? Are you all in? Do you trust him enough to believe that he did it for you and there's a reason behind it? Now, I've heard lots of different stories and different things that happen, and it's amazing the outcome. Amazing the outcome for those who continually look to the Lord for their help and for their direction. Now, I know that's a stretch for most of us, right? Faith in the Lord 100% all in is a stretch for us. Why? Because we were raised in America, right? We have never been taught how to rely on God. Because we've been taught how to rely on yourself. If you don't do it, nothing's going to happen, right? And there is some truth to that. Because you can't just sit on your couch and say, okay, God, do it for me. Yep, I'm going to sit here until it gets done. Is that how God works? Well, read Joshua. How far would they have got to take the promised land if they'd have sat and waited for God to take the land? He doesn't do it that way. He goes with you. And so you have to take a step, and he'll show you if that's the direction. And you'll take a step, and he'll say, nope, don't want you going that way. So you take a different step, and you'll go, yep, this is the way I want you to go. Walk in it. Keep walking. I think of that movie, Fievel Goes West. The theology of Fievel. His dad tells him, keep walking. Remember, he's climbing the ramp and he's messing around and everybody's behind him. All you got to do is just keep walking. Why? Because reality is this. There are people that are following you. They are. They're watching you. They're looking to see what happens to you. And if it don't work out, they're not going to do it. And you are their example. So how do you show them that you're following God? It's by your relationship with him and how you talk about it. Tell your story. Tell your story how God provided you to get to where you are. Right? Maybe you should tell it more often because you probably forgot the story yourself. Have you? Did you forget how you got where you are? Or do you still remember? Sometimes I got to look back. I do. Sometimes I got to look back and look how God provided for me and showed me along the way. And remember my prayers. You guys remember your prayers and the prayers that have been answered? If you haven't, you need to look back. God has been with you through it all. I mean, I could tell you story after story after story. I probably have told you many of them. So I'm not going to go back and tell you more of them. But the reality is God's been with me through it all. And he's been with you through it all. The thing is, do you tell the story? You can't forget to tell the story to your children, because they won't remember it if you don't tell them. So you're the example. And the reality to this story that Jesus is telling is the example in the history of the Jewish people. We can look at that story as well. And it didn't turn out well. Do you know why there's not a temple standing on the Temple Mount right now? Because Jesus tore it down. And you know why he did that? Because of the unfaithfulness of the Jews. And he told them. He said, I'll tear that thing down, and in 3 days I'll build it again. So what was he saying? He tore the physical temple down, and he rose himself in 3 days. And he is the temple. He is our temple. And he told them. And it still sits just like that. It hasn't changed. In fact, he was so serious about it, he allowed a pagan religion to build a temple on the ground, right? Where's that mosque built? Sitting right on that ground. You know why? God allowed it. It's a picture for us to look at. What do you want sitting on your ground in the days to come? Come on, think about it. What do you want your legacy to be to your children and your children's children? My dad was faithful. He stuck with it and he followed God. Or did you forsake him in the middle of something? Maybe your kids don't even know your story. Time you start telling it. And tell it while they're young. Because the world will overtake them. That's what the enemy does. He tries to rob God's people and their legacy. Therefore, 34 says, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah and the son of Bear, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. And it did. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent for her. How often I wanted to gather your children under the way a hen gathers the chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Jews, basically, if they're not a messianic Jew, which means they believe that the Messiah has come, a lot of them don't believe that. They're still living the Old Testament law. They're still believing that the Messiah is coming, and they don't profess Jesus as God. And so they're still there today. And many hearts are changing, and God has opened the door, as we see in chapter 24. We'll talk about this as the Jews come to their homeland, as things start to happen, as the things unfold, all these nations will rise up against Israel, and they will go to build the temple back up, which is basically, we know that that's going to be end time prophecy when they start that. They have all of the utensils, they have the plans, they have everything in place. All they need now is the go, and they will build the temple. And the reality is, as they say, they're going to build the temple right next to the mosque, right? So they'll be sit side by side, so everybody can have their own religion and feel free to worship however you want. It's all good. Worship however you want. It's all good. Right? So they'll build that, and then they'll start the sacrifices again, which means what to God? He's already done the sacrifice through Jesus Christ. Means nothing. And the witnesses will come and witness this in the temple of the Most High. They'll build it. They'll come, and then they'll kill the witnesses through the Antichrist. So those are the things that are ahead of us that haven't happened yet. But you guys know, if you do your study, you'll find out that a whole bunch of prophecy has been fulfilled. Like in 48, the Jews have come back to their homeland. It's a nation, as a nation. Right? And they're still coming from all over the world. They're coming back. And it was prophesied long ago that this would happen. And if you do your study, you'll find out these things are unfolding right before our very eyes, and we're watching it happen. The legacy that Jesus said would happen is happening. The Jews have lost basically everything because of their disobedience and to believe that Jesus is God and that he came to die on the cross for their sins and ours. And they just rejected that whole thing. And now they're reaping what they've sown. Just basically they've given up what God's given them, but he's going to restore that even. The Jews will always be God's people. He'll never leave them or forsake them. Isn't that awesome? Now that's a picture of the goodness of God. When he made the covenant, he made it for himself, and he made it for them as well. Right? He knew they weren't going to keep their end of the bargain. And that's prophesied as well. So all these prophecies have been unfolded. Now, when we get into next week, you guys, this is interesting, because chapter 24 really breaks down where we are in our history and the study of the Bible. Jesus warned us. He talked about his people. He talked about his disciples. He said, they asked him, what is the end like? When is these things going to happen? And he gave us things to look for. And this is what we're going to get into next week. And so, what do you think? You guys, do you think that you're acting? Are you play acting? Are you in a script? Are you part, the world is a stage, right? And you're just an actor in it? Remember when you were in school and what was the great philosopher, the world is a stage? Well, it can be, or it can be in the place where, you know what? I know my God has got a plan for me and I'm following his steps. I'm going to do that and I'm all in. So whatever God says for me to do, I'm going to do. Now, I remember talking to some of you guys and asking you questions about, would you like to do this? And sometimes you go, no, I don't want to do that. I hate kids. I don't want to take care of kids. I got kids of my own. I don't even like them. And then you come back and say, you know, I've prayed about that. And I really think I'm supposed to do that. Or whatever the case may be. You know, there's so many things that God points us in a way that we should go. And if we evaluate that and ask him, is this what you want me to do? And seriously pray about it. God will tell you, yep, I do. And you might go, oh, not that, God. Anything but that. I'd rather clean the toilets. Can I just clean the toilets? It's already taken. Don't worry. You're good. And so God is asking for your willingness to serve, right? What did he say? He said, If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you'll be a servant to all. Well, now we know that, but the second question to that is, what? What would you like me to do, Lord? Has anybody asked that question? Lord, what is it that you would like me to do for you? Because that's who you're doing it for. Right? You're doing it because he's asked you to. And there's so many places, so many different capacities that you can serve in. And many of you are. I mean, this is a great church of people who serve in their area of servitude. You guys are good at it. And the only question I have is that, is God wanting you to do something for him? And whatever it is. I know, Dan will ask some people to go witness with him on the streets, right? And they'll go do it for one time and they'll go, whoop, not my call. Well, did God ask you if it was your call to witness to people? Did he? He said, no, that was a command. Go. If you're his disciple, he said, go. Share this message to the world. Well, how are you doing with that? Are you a secret disciple? They don't really know you're a Christian? It's like that one guy had been working at that place for 5 years. He says, yep, I blend right in. They don't even know I'm a Christian. I don't think I'd tell anybody that. They should know who you are. Those that you work with, those that you're around, those on the streets. You know, it's easy to be a Christian here, guys, honestly. I mean, this is the place we can be Christians. But when you get in a different place, in a different town, and you're around foreign people, do you still profess to be a believer? Not only do you profess to be a believer, but do you act like one? I mean, do you share with people that are just there? It doesn't matter. And the conversation will arise, and there's opportunity everywhere. In fact, there was a guy, I was letting Buddy go potty, right? We stopped, and I don't remember why we stopped. I think Joey was trying to find directions or something. So while she was trying to find directions, I'll take Buddy potty. So I get out, and I go, and there's this guy in this walker. And he needed that walker because he was about 3 sheets to the wind. And he's walking up. He says, hey, buddy. I said, hi. And he goes, hey, you got a dollar or something I can have? I'm kind of hungry. I said, really? And I just thought to myself, sure, you are. You just go buy something else to drink. That's what I'm thinking. And I went, I don't. And I really didn't. If I did, I probably wouldn't have gave it to him. But I wouldn't have told him I didn't if I did. But I didn't. I have card. I have plastic, but I wasn't going to give him my plastic. So he said, oh, okay. And he said, I'm hungry. I said, well, I'm sure you could probably find something to eat somewhere. He said, yeah, I could go down to McDonald's, but I don't think I'd make her. And I said, I think you're probably right. I don't think you'll make her. So, and I was pretty honest with him, and then I thought about, I need to just, share Jesus with him. And then he said something that the Lord said, don't do it. And he used the Lord's name in vain. And then he said the F word a couple times. And I went, I don't think he's going to get it. And the Bible says very clearly, don't cast your pearls before swine. There is a time to share the gospel message. And there's a time to just love them and leave them. Right? Just love them and leave them. And so that's the thing that got to me. It would have been a waste of time for me to share Jesus with him. But I did pray for him. In here I was going, Lord, he needs you. And so if nothing else, we can do that. If nothing else, if we can't share the gospel, at least we can pray, God, somehow get his attention. Because it's very sad. It's sad. And the blinders are so blind, just like these leaders, and they thought they had it together. And they didn't, and they weren't able to see. And some of us aren't able to see certain things. Even though we think we can, it would be good for us to humble ourselves before the Lord and ask him, Lord, do I need to see something that I'm not seeing? At least be humble enough to believe that there's something else you might want to be able to see. But if you think you got it all together, so did these guys. And that's the part that's scary to me. You know, I don't want to think that I've got it all together to a place to where God can't show me anything. How about you? Yeah, we need an open heart to receive. And so practicing is the key thing here in this title. Practice what you say you believe. And I believe that the practice part is the part we need to engage in. And it's like doctors. Do they have it all together? That's why they're practicing medicine. They're trying to get it together. At least they're trying. Right? And that's what we need to be. Practicing believers. Practice what we believe. Put it into place. And seek God. And let him direct our path. So I want to leave it like this. How many of you have got something that you really need to hear God about? Right? You're sitting in a place where you're going, Lord, I need to hear you on this matter. Right? And you know what it is. And so what I want to do is leave it like this. I want to lift those up to the Lord. Why? Because he says, ask. And if we don't ask, if we don't seek, we're not going to get any answers. So whatever that's on your mind right now, you guys raise your hands, what you're seeking for direction and understanding from the Lord, I believe today we need to just lift those up to the Lord and allow him to speak to us. That be okay? Let's take a minute and do that. Father, as our hearts are moved toward you, Lord, in humbleness, that, Lord, we would hear your voice and follow your path. And so the questions that have been risen right now in the area of needing understanding about a certain area of our life. Lord, I pray, God, as we bind together as a fellowship, Lord, as believers who love you and understand you are God and we have given our lives to you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. And so we lift every one of those concerns, Lord, every question that needs an answer. God, we lift those to you right here, right now. And Lord, I pray from each one, Lord, is lifting that up to you, Lord God, that you would speak. Word of God, speak. Others, however you choose to speak to us, Lord, we're willing to hear you. And Lord, I ask, God, that your words would come alive to us so that we can make decisions to follow you, Lord, and to know these are right decisions, whether it be to buy a house, whether it be to sell a house, whether it be to change jobs or start a job or school or marriage or finances or cars, all kinds of situations, Lord. We ask, God, that you would hear them right now as everyone's praying for their concern. Lord, to hear your voice in the matter. Lord, speak to us. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord. We thank you for your message today to help us not be actors, Lord, that we would truly be all in and that we would be doers of the word and that we would truly be humble to hear you, Lord, as you speak. So God, whatever it is you ask,